Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment around the district and from further afield. Now, the UK's housing crisis is often high on the news agenda. But this August, a more rustic type of accommodation, home to the UK's smaller, spikier residents, is taking the spotlight. The first ever National Hedgehog Housing Census has been launched by Hedgehog Street, a nationwide campaign set up by wildlife charities the British Hedgehog Preservation Society and the People's Trust for Endangered Species to help combat the ongoing decline in native hedgehog population numbers. Now, this survey is a partnership with the University of Reading and with the Warwickshire Wildlife Trust. I spoke to Faye Vass of Hedgehog Street to find out more. Faye, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So why do you want to know about hedgehog houses?
Well, hedgehog houses are something that people spend a lot of money on, for a start, or a lot of effort making. And we want to make sure that we can give the best advice to say what's the best sort of hedgehog house, either to buy or the best shape to make. Where to site them, whether to put food near them, what nesting materials to put in them, all of that kind of thing that's never really been studied before. So we want to try and find out a bit more about hedgehog houses and how they help hedgehogs.
Okay, so you're looking for the data online. You've got a little questionnaire. What kind of things are you hoping people will tell you about?
All of that stuff, really. We're hoping that they'll have a look at their hedgehog house that they have in the garden currently, tell us where they sited it, if it's being used, if they put nesting material in there, if so, what do they use, all of that kind of thing. And hopefully the clever people at the University of Reading will do lots of number crunching and come out with some good advice for us to be able to pass on to others.
Right, OK. So the data is actually being studied and collated by people at University of Reading then, is it?
That's right, yeah. Right.
OK. I mean, as you've said, people do spend a lot of money on hedgehog houses. There's lots of them available. Does it surprise you that this hasn't been studied before?
Yeah, there's a lot we don't know about hedgehogs and a lot that we'd like to study, but only, you know, so many people doing so many things at once. So we need to keep, you know, the pressure on, keep trying these new things, trying new studies and making sure that we find out all we can about hedgehogs so that we can know how to help them best.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just thinking, why do hedgehogs need houses? They don't have houses in the wild, do they?
They don't. And if you've got plenty of good habitat for hedgehogs in the garden, they may well not need them in your garden either. If you've got log piles, compost heaps, gaps under sheds, that kind of thing that they can use as nesting areas. But a lot of people have got very tidy, neat gardens now, and they might like to provide something a little bit more formal, shall we say, that a hedgehog can use in the garden.
Yeah.
So they've still got some opportunity to sort of, you know, hide themselves away and nest up there.
Yeah.
But they don't have to have a that people don't have to have sort of wild areas or untidy patches in their garden that they don't like.
Yeah. I mean, it's been estimated that hedgehog populations have declined by up to a third in urban areas and at least half in rural areas since the year 2000. I mean, that's not very long ago, is it? What do you think's changed to cause this steep decline?
Yeah, it is a steep decline, and it's fairly consistent as well. We still think they're still dropping in number. We think it's probably a great deal to do with loss of habitat and fragmentation of habitat. So in urban areas, for example, or even in rural villages and towns where gardens are boxed in with fences and walls and there's no way for hedgehogs to get in and out of them, that cuts off a lot of habitat for them. Or if there are a few gardens that join up, that's just not enough. You know,
yeah.
Hedgehogs will travel a mile in a night, so they need a lot of gardens. So part of our Hedgehog Street project with People's Trust for Endangered Species is asking people to make those gaps in fences
right.
and walls just to allow hedgehogs to walk through.
Crikey, that a mile is an awful long way for a little hedgehog to walk in a night, isn't it? That surprises me.
It really is. Yeah, those little legs work very hard
yes.
each night.
Yes, bless. So, I mean, as you said, you've asked people to, you know, to leave spaces in fences and things. I mean, hedgehogs are very popular, aren't they? We do like hedgehogs, particularly because they eat slugs and snails, which is great. What else can we do to make hedgehogs flourish in our gardens?
Yeah, Britain loves hedgehogs, which is great. They come top of sort of popularity polls all the time. So that's really good news for them. because it means, you know, obviously people love them and hopefully they'll want to do the best for them. So making sure that you've got a gap in the fence is the first thing. Offering water, especially when it's very dry, is really important. Sort of shallow bowls of fresh water around the garden. Stopping using sort of pesticides and slug pellets, all those kind of things, which damage the food chain and potentially damage hedgehogs too. And making sure you've got an escape route in a pond. Ponds are really good for wildlife, but hedgehogs can swim, but not indefinitely, so they need an escape ramp to be able to get out.
Right. Well, that sounds like some quite easy things that we can do there. Okay. Well, we hope that the survey goes very well. When will the results of your housing survey be available so that we can make sure that we are providing the best accommodation for hedgehogs?
Yeah, well, the survey runs until the 31st of October, and you can access it from www.hedgehogstreet.org. And then we're hopefully, Reading will do their work, the University of Reading will do their work over the winter, and we'll have some results for everyone in spring.
Lovely. Well, we look forward to seeing the results of that. Faye, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
I was there talking to Faye Vass of Hedgehog Street. So if you are lucky enough to have hedgehogs in your garden, they do make sure that you take part in the survey. It really does only take a few minutes. And as we heard from Faye, it'll provide vital information on how we can best help our little spiky friends. Now, a local person who certainly does have hedgehogs in her garden is hedgehog lover Jill Stevens. And I visited her at her house to take a look at the hedgehog houses that she'd got in her garden and to find out what she's been able to help these appealing little creatures. So I'm here with Jill and we're looking out at her lovely garden, which does boast quite a few little hedgehog houses. Jill, explain to us how you first got involved with hedgehogs.
Well, like most of the country, I'm quite fond of hedgehogs, and I had been saying that I hadn't seen any hedgehogs for years, actually, last year, either squashed on the road or anywhere, and was really aware that they were in decline. And then last summer, I had some sources of water in the garden, and I think it was during a really dry spell, and I spotted some hedgehog poo around the sources, which I identified from hedgehogs in my mum's garden. So I became aware that there were hedgehogs here in my own garden. And they are quite elusive little creatures. So I think a lot of people don't think they have them. And they don't think they're around at all. But unless you actually look for them, you might not be aware they're there. So having spotted the poo, I then looked out of the window that evening when it had got dark, and saw a little trail of hedgehogs coming and going, and some of them were quite big, so they'd obviously been there for some time. And then I became a bit obsessed with them, really, so I started watching them every evening. They're creatures of habit, so they come at the same sort of time after dark. And then I started feeding them, researched online what was the best sort of food, what things they liked and didn't like. And fed them right the way into the winter, in case they were still coming and the food disappeared every morning, so they were obviously still around. And then, I think it was in December, and it was freezing, one of those sub-zero nights, there was still a little hedgehog out there. And from having become a bit of an expert from all these hedgehog forums that I was reading, I knew that this little one probably wouldn't survive the winter, because they have to be, you know, over about 500 grams if they're going to survive hibernation. And the trouble last year was the little ones that were born in sort of September time hadn't had long enough to put on enough weight to see them through the winter. So I went out and got this little one, brought it in, weighed it, and it was only 350 grams. And I thought, oh,
dear, so that's well below
survive.
The 500 grams,
yeah,
isn't
it? So I brought it in with the view of taking it to a local hedgehog rescue centre. And my nearest is this lovely lady in London, Colney,
yes.
Calls herself the Hedgehog Lady.
Yeah.
But when I went on her website, there was just a banner saying, "We are full, we can't take any more."
Well, as you say, there must have been a lot of hedgehogs in the same situation.
Yes, and there were just so many autumn juveniles needing to be overwintered. I thought, well, what am I going to do with this one then? But I've looked after animals and pets before, and I happened to have got an old guinea pig cage. So I basically overwintered it myself, brought it in, kept it warm, fed it. I mean, other than being small, it was perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
When it reached about 600 grams, I moved outside into an outhouse where it was a bit colder. So she had the option of sort of hibernating if she wanted to.
Of course, yes, the hibernation thing as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she still had food and water. And actually, it's quite interesting because they don't... You think hedgehogs go to sleep in winter and hibernate for 3 months solidly, and they don't. They basically dip in and out of hibernation. So they might hibernate in one nest, and then in the middle of winter, they'll get up and move somewhere else. And especially if it gets warmer. So she sort of dipped in and out of hibernation. She'd, you know, in a really cold week, she'd sleep for a week and then wake up again and eat something else. And so by the spring, she got to about 800 grams, at which point I released her back into the garden.
Wow.
And off she went.
Well, that's a lovely story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then this year also, you've done a little bit of hedgehog care as well. Just tell us briefly about this year's hedgehogs.
Well, I then started to volunteer with the Hedgehog Lady in London Colney to find out a bit more about them and to offer to look after some of them because obviously she looks after them if they're ill or orphaned, but then they need somewhere to be released and she tries to return them either to the place that they were found or to a site where she knows hedgehogs already exist.
Yes.
And thrive.
Yes, somewhere that presumably is therefore safe,
yes,
for them.
Yes, because a lot of people say, oh, I'd like a hedgehog in my garden,
yeah,
you know, I'll have one. But hedgehogs need a big area,
yes,
to survive in.
That's right, we've heard about how you need to have gaps in the fences,
yeah,
because they can walk up to a mile in an evening.
Yeah,
so yes,
yeah,
they do need a lot of space, don't
so
they?
So that's why I think in this little area they're doing okay, because
yes,
we're sort of 30 houses with gardens that all back onto each other.
Yes, yeah.
So I've fostered, I suppose, some hedgehogs for her.
Yeah.
A couple that were big enough and ready for release. And I put them in a pen outside until they're used to being outside and then,
yeah,
just eventually let them go and,
yeah,
and off they go. And then recently I had three siblings from the same family whose mother had a broken leg and,
yeah,
couldn't look after them. And again, that was just a case of looking after them until they were up to weight.
They were big enough to go by themselves.
And off they went,
yeah. So looking around the garden, you've got lots of different kinds of hedgehog houses.
Mm.
Have you noticed any houses more successful than others, more popular?
Actually, it varies enormously. Sometimes it's the rough and ready ones that you've just sort of cobbled together from an old box that seem to be the most popular. And then, you know, people can spend a lot of money on these wonderful ready-made hedgehog houses,
oh,
which of course the hedgehog is usually going,
yes,
to ignore. It's usually the position, I think, more than the actual house.
Oh, right, okay. So where should you put your, do you think, where's a good place to put your house?
Well, deep within a hedge, usually by a fence. You know, you can't just stick a house in the middle of the lawn and expect the hedgehog to go there. Preferably south facing, so the wind doesn't howl through the door. I mean, there's no knowing really why a hedgehog chooses somewhere over,
okay,
somewhere.
Well,
else.
Hopefully we'll find this out from the recent survey, so
yes,
that we can be a bit more scientific about this. So, just to finish with Jill, you've had a bit of bad news recently about one of the hedgehogs that visits your garden. What? Just tell us briefly about that.
Yeah, well, I've got a nighttime camera, being as obsessed as I now am, where I can film what's going on overnight in little 20-second bursts that's motion activated. And obviously because they're nocturnal and quite often they don't come out until, you know, 11 o'clock at night and disappear at about 4 o'clock in the morning at the moment. Every morning I can have a little view to see who's been coming and going.
Nighttime visitors.
And you do become familiar with them. You start to recognise them from facial markings and size sometimes. But recently, and typically when I was away on holiday, one little hedgehog has been coming with an injured back leg. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh no, what date was this? And it was, you know, about 10 days ago, just after we'd gone on holiday. It's got an injured leg. I won't see it much more. But it came again and again, and it's been coming every night, thankfully.
On its three little legs.
On its three little legs, and its back leg just looks, I think it must be broken. It doesn't look like a bite, but it's desperately trying to itch itself because it's obviously got fleas and it can't use its back leg.
Right.
And I'm waiting up every night to try and surprise it and rescue it and yes. get it to the vets.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that it's not infected and...
Yes, indeed.
And last night I waited up till 11:30, yeah. gave up, went to bed, and at 11:48, there it was on the video. So I'm getting very tired trying
You're
to find
very
it,
tired.
But I'm determined that I'm going to get it.
Well, your passion for hedgehogs speaks enormously, and let's just hope that that hedgehogs start to do a little bit better, as they are doing in your garden.
Well, I hope so, yes.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Jill, thank you very much indeed for sharing your hedgehog stories with us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I was there talking to Jill Stevens in her house, a very hedgehog-friendly garden in St Albans. And I'll put all the information from today's show on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website, and I'll pop some pictures there so you can see some of her little hedgehogs that she has cared for. Now, if you're feeling inspired, then what I'll do is I'll put some of the easy tips for things that you can do to make your garden into a hedgehog-friendly garden if you've got a moment over the bank holiday weekend. Things like cutting the little gap in your fences, making a little house. I did see in Jill's garden that the pallets seem to be one of those popular things. They seem to be just the right height for hedgehogs so that they can get in, but things like foxes can't do, so they feel lovely and safe there. So, as I say, all that's on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Do take a look there. You can also listen to the podcast. Tweet us at @RV_environment. Email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com. Next week, Cycle to Work Week. So, until then... Thank you for listening.